From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning comes from Exodus chapter 16 and verse 21. They gathered manna every morning. Labor to maintain a sense of thine entire dependence upon the Lord's goodwill and pleasure for the continuance of thy richest enjoyments. Never try to live on the old manna, nor seek to find help in Egypt. All must come from Jesus, or thou art undone forever. Old anointings will not suffice to impart unction to thy spirit. Thine head must have fresh oil poured upon it from the golden horn of the sanctuary, or it will cease from its glory. Today thou mayest be upon the summit of the Mount of God, but he who has put thee there must keep thee there, or thou wilt sink far more speedily than thou dreamest. Thy mountain only stands firm when he settles it in its place. If he hide his face, thou wilt soon be troubled. If the Savior should see fit, there is not a window through which thou seest the light of heaven which he could not darken in an instant. Joshua bade the sun stand still, but Jesus can shroud it in total darkness. He can withdraw the joy of thine heart, the light of thine eyes, and the strength of thy life. In his hand thy comforts lie, and at his will they can depart from thee. This hourly dependence our Lord is determined that we shall feel and recognize, for he only permits us to pray for our daily bread, and only promises that as our days our strength shall be. Is it not best for us that it should be so, that we may often repair to his throne and be constantly reminded of his love? Oh, how rich the grace which supplies us so continually, and doth not refrain itself because of our ingratitude! The golden shower never ceases. The cloud of blessing tarries evermore above our habitation. O Lord Jesus, we would bow at thy feet, conscious of our utter inability to do anything without thee. And in every favor which we are privileged to receive, we would adore thy blessed name and acknowledge thine unexhausted love.
Thank you.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Damasian brings the next portion of a message called "A Gospel Church is a Church Making Progress." In chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul set forth three things that mark a church and an individual believer as progressing in the faith: rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. The secret of effective praying lies in constantly giving thanks to God. By doing so, we recognize that God is sovereign in our lives. As Pastor Tomassian continues, he cautions believers against suppressing the Holy Spirit by ignoring what the Spirit is teaching through the Scriptures. We need to apply the Word to the needs of the hour, testing everything by what the Bible teaches. Now to continue this message, here is Pastor Tomassian.
And then we come to verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That is to say, test what you're taught. If it is found to be scriptural, take it on board. Hold fast to that which is good, that which is scriptural. John warns us of this very thing as well, this important aspect of proving or testing what we hear. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Sometimes quoted as a catch-all so that you avoid all forms of sin, but in context it's dealing with, again, relating to the judgment, the discerning of what you're hearing. And once you hear something that is good, you hold fast to that. If you hear something that's not, then you abstain from it. If you're being taught something that would lead you astray, you do your testing and then you abstain, you remove yourself from the appearance of evil, the instruction that would lead you astray. So, these are evidences that indicate progress. How do you see a Christian is making progress? Well, it's not just giving themselves to the exercises of verses 16, 17, and 18, but it is by the cycle of the Christian life in verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. There's a cycle here. Listen, look at the text. Look at verses 19 through 22 and listen. You're to live and worship in holiness of life, walking in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5. There you are. You're not to quench the Spirit. You're to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, follow the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. To help you to do that, don't despise the teaching you receive, verse 20. But also test what you hear and put away that which would quench the Spirit, the very appearance of evil. What would quench the Spirit? And so you go back, and there's a cycle there. Walk in the Spirit. To help you do that, you need instruction. You test that instruction. And you take what's good because it helps you walk in the Spirit. You remove what is wrong because it would lead you away and quench the Spirit. And you see the cycle of the Christian life. And this, beloved, these are evidences that indicate progress. When you see a Christian walking in this way, living in this fashion, it evidences progress in their life. It's a mark of maturity. They are sensitive to the Spirit. They don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. They bring their life under the light of Scripture. They want to constantly be living for the glory of God. And so they receive teaching to help them. And if anything would lead them astray, they cast it out because they're afraid of quenching the Spirit and not walking and pleasing Him. Thirdly, then, the expressions that show there should be progress. The expressions that show there should be progress. There's two expressions given. One is at the end of verse 18. The other is verses 23 and 24. You have first then the didactic expression, verse 18. The didactic expression. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul takes the admonitions that precede this rejoicing, praying, and everything give thanks. These are the exercises that you're to engage in. And this, these exercises, giving yourself to them, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is what the Lord calls you to do. And by reason of your union with Christ, you are to do this. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. God looks at you as in Christ. I want you to note that. I want you to see that. I want you to grasp that. Because as God gives His instruction to His people, it is not with them independent from Christ. He looks at them as they are in Christ and gives them instruction on the basis of how they are viewed in Christ. If that was not the case, such instruction would not come to us. What's the point in someone who's not in union with Christ rejoicing evermore? As they stand in their sin, in the misery of their unbelief, with the wrath of God abiding upon their head, there is no instruction to rejoice evermore to such a person. If you're under the wrath of God, there is no instruction to rejoice. There is a solemn reality that you are to feel and understand that you're lost. that if you die and you perish in your sin, you'll be lost forever. So this is instruction that you get because you're in union with Christ. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because you're in union with the Son of God, you're given this instruction, rejoice evermore. It was quoted by Dr. Overly, who for the joy that was set before him, Christ could enter into the redemptive plan of the Father and go to the cross, and he could do it with joy. He was anointed with joy above his fellows. No one was more joyful than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejoicing evermore, even in the midst of his trials. And this is where we get comfort, beloved. We see our trials, we see our tribulations, we look at Christ, we can consider him and all that he's going through, and does that not aid us? Does not gird our hearts with a sense of encouragement that our Savior suffered on our behalf, and yet he rejoiced? We suffer often as a consequence of our own sin, certainly because of the curse at large. Christ never brought any of that. He had no guilt whatsoever. Yet he still rejoiced on that with the imputation of the curse upon him. He prayed without ceasing. In everything he gave thanks. This is how he lived. In fact, turn with me to Luke chapter 10 just for a second. Luke 10. You can see Paul's exhortations all come together in a little text here in Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 21, now remember, Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What do we find in the Lord Jesus Christ? Luke 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. See that? See the various aspects that are going on there? What is he doing? He's praying. Pray without ceasing. He is praying. Rejoice evermore. What's he doing? He rejoiced in spirit. And he is to give thanks. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Christ lived it out. He lived out the very thing Paul is driving home here. This is how you are to approach life. These are the exercises you are to give yourself to. Here is the instruction, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is indicating by Paul saying that this is the will of God. He is saying this has to be taking place. There's no avoiding this. This must be existing in your life in some form. Not to the fullest degree. Not to a perfect degree. But to some degree there must be joy, prayer, giving thanks in your life. Because this is the will of God. Those in union with Christ receive this instruction. This is the will of God for you. Christ lived it out. Bearing unimaginable pressures. And this is the will of God for you. Not only the didactic expression, but the doxological expression. The expressions that show there should be progress, also found then in verses 23 and 24. This is more doxological. It's not that didactical. It's not the direct teaching, but it's doxological, because you can see even in how these verses read. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. These verses are as the verses that end chapter 3. You remember when we looked at verses 11 through 13 of chapter 3. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We said then that this is in the optative mood. And the idea there is that it's both going to God as well as instruction for men. And so the doxologies are often written in this mood. It's expressing this. And you can see even in the translation of the Authorized Version that you have in italics, I pray God. The translators are showing that the expression of verses 23 and 24 are also a desire. They are the form of a wish, just like the end of chapter 3. But it doesn't come across clearly, because in one sense you're wondering, is he saying this to the church or is he praying this to God? But the truth is it's both, like a doxology. And so that's why the translators put in, and I pray God, because they're emphasizing the aspect that this is also going to God. And so in this doxological expression of progress, you can see that the heart of what the desire is from Paul, the very God of peace, the God of peace. Let's think of the context, what I've been saying. Here's a church in tribulation. Here's a church under trial. Here's a church that is feeling the burning of the persecution of the world. Here's a church that's feeling the effects of a fallen world, struggling with it. Anxieties come into their mind and heart. What do they need? They need peace. And Paul reminds them again, the very God of peace. The source of peace is not in the world. It's my peace, Jesus says, I give unto you. He says, I'm giving peace to you. The God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Sanctify, set you apart, purge you, cleanse you, the whole part of you, all of you, which is emphasized then when he says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This text often is used to get into the whole discussion of the nature of humanity. Bipartite, tripartite, not going to deal with that this morning. The apostle is saying here, the progress, what we understand as the doctrine of sanctification, is something he brings as a prayer before God, as worship before the Lord, and his desire for the people of God, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. This is the longing of his heart. He had been trying to help in this, hadn't he? I mean, from the start of chapter 4 through to the end of the letter, really, there's constant driving home exhortations, beginning of chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you. And he continues then to apply various aspects of things that he's trying to drive home to help them live. And he sees himself as an instrument in their sanctification. But this is the great desire the Lord has for them, that they would be making progress, being sanctified. As he said in chapter 4, verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. That's putting the positive than the negative, rather. Dealing with fornication, abstaining from fornication, staying away from these things. In the positive, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, these are the positive things to do to make progress. Rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. Not the things you should avoid, the things you should give yourself to.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.